every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line, I am trusting it is mine. Every promise in the book, every promise, one more time, every promise in the book is mine. Every promise, every chapter, every verse, and every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise, every promise, every promise in the book. If it's sickness you feel, hallelujah.
If it's sickness that you feel, and your body is unwell, remember He's the great physician, and in Him all life dwells. Pass your cares on Jesus, and your hope soon may
you.
Amen.
I would like to read first a testimony from Sister Sharon Lubanza. Maybe we won't have time to read it as we go. Shalom Saints, 6 months ago I gave a testimony on how God blessed me with a good job, which was above what I couldn't ever imagine. God has been good to me, and this past Monday I passed my probation period assessment.
Amen.
With positive feedback, and I finally got offered a permanent contract with the company.
Amen. Amen.
I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to God and pray that His blessing may continue to be with me at work. God bless you, Sister Sharon Lubanza.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Let's pray. Dear Father, as we were reading this testimony, we can see and we can testify that our prayers are not in vain. Sometimes we can take it for granted that,
hallelujah,
every Sunday we give offering and a brother comes and asks for blessing, and that's it. But behind these prayers, there's an acting hand, oh Lord. That's why we are committing this offering once again into your hands, oh Lord. Heavenly Father, remember the good works of your children, oh Lord. Let this be treasures that they are storing in the heaven, oh Lord.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, remember the good works and bless them, oh. Give them above all the eternal life, O Lord.
Hallelujah.
Bless this offering, O Lord, as we commit it into your hands, and break the bread of life for us as we prepare ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that chorus while we'll ask Jose to come. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah.
2 cents. Yeah. Sister. Okay. God bless you.
Amen.
I'm standing here because the pastor has requested us to speak to the church about, first of all, to thank you for every contribution that you're making for the advancement of the kingdom of the Lord through the work that's being done here. So we wanted to stand this morning here to tell you about financially where we stand, and I guess we will be doing this quite often so that the saints know what is happening with every penny that they're giving to contribute here. So this morning I wanted to say what we've done throughout the month of August. As you know, we only have two sources of income here, which is one is offering, just it has been collected right now, and the other are saints who have accepted to voluntarily pledge a certain amount every month that goes toward the rent for the building this building that you're renting here. And for the month of August, all we got from the offering was, the total amount that we got from the offering was 758. And the rent contributions, as I said, that's the contribution that the saints are giving voluntarily, 685. And the total income for that month of August was 1,443. And on the this side here, you can see the expenses that we that incurred in the month of August. The church rent is the amount that we're paying every month. And this building cost us $1,300 a month. And the rent assistance, that's the expenses that the church is giving to some sense here to contribute to their rent. That was $1,250. And other assistance are things like someone comes with an emergency and the church has to assist them. Those kind of assistance cost us about $845. And fuel, transport, and motor vehicle expenses are things that the church spends on transportation. And then finally, we have missionary expenses and church expenses, things like for Sunday school and if they need accessories or other things that we need, the church has to provide for them. So for a total, the whole month of August, we have spent $4,554.39. As you can see, from the expenses and the total amount that we made, we were shortfall of €3,111. So that was the amount that we needed to supply in order to accommodate all the expenses that we incurred during the month of August. So because of that, we had to borrow money somewhere else to make up all these expenses, which is not always easy. So the pastor has agreed to spend some money from the tithes, but as you know, the tithes, like the prophet says, the tithes belong to the pastors. So that's not something that we're supposed to do, but he has accepted to do that. And he's been doing that all this while. So, and that is something that we are really grateful to him, because, as you know, finances are always something that it's always bring a lot of problems in the church, but he is willingly doing that, and he's been doing that all this while, and may the Lord bless him for that. So, but this was just to show you where financially we're standing, so that the saints know what is happening, and we do appreciate every penny that you're giving here, and we try to do our best so that we can use it to the maximum we can in order to advance the kingdom of God here. And also, we'd like to thank all the saints for their contribution.
every month people have willingly accepted to give, to contribute to the rent. And for the last 12 months, they have been doing that. And Brother Wilmo will be contacting the Saints with regards to this contribution over the next few days. So if you receive a call from Brother Wilmo in this regard, just he will be contacting you to let you know what to do next year. So God bless you.
Amen. While Sister Lubanza comes, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, oh, Hosanna, Hosanna, hallelujah, oh, oh, hallelujah, oh, Hosanna, 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 hallelujah, Hosanna.
God bless you. As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times He carried me through. If there's something that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said, He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place I am preparing for you. I know someday I see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said, He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation He has proved His love for me. When I lack the understanding, He gives more grace to me. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said, He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said, He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful.
Amen. Our Redeemer is faithful and true. Let's stand up. Let's sing that song. Where He leads me, I will follow. Amen. We're not worried about announcements or about finances. We're trusting in the Lord. Let's break through so that when our brother comes to minister, we will recognize His presence. Amen. Our Redeemer is faithful and true. He has a word for us this morning. Where He will lead me, I will go. Oh, I have learned to trust Him so, and I remember 'twas for me that He was slain on Calvary. Oh, He lead me, Jesus shall lead me night and day.
That's what Sunday is for. Hallelujah. Just to remember Calvary. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
My. Do you really, really love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Blessed be His holy name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I appreciate deep people that are quiet and still waters that run deep. But I appreciate those that open their mouth, because somewhere in the Bible says, open your mouth and I will fill it. So you want a blessing, you say hallelujah, God pours it in there. Amen. Somebody give God some praise. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. If you remember Calvary, if you just remember Calvary, we could just shut our Bibles and say the service is over. It's enough to start a gastronomical jubilee to a believer. Just the remembrance of Calvary, what Calvary did for you. Hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name. Shall we bow our heads and pray? Gracious Father, Lord, we thank you this morning, Father. Just at the thought of Calvary and what it has done for us. Lord, we were undone without hope. But Calvary, Lord, purchased our lives, redeemed us to what we ought to be, sons and daughters of God. Father, we're truly thankful for that grace that you've bestowed upon us. Now, Lord, as we stand before your people to minister, I pray that you might move me aside, use me only as a vessel, that your people might benefit thereby. Lord, stir up the gift one more time. Bless your people. Make them to know you in the power and strength of your resurrection. Amen. Father, if a builder builds and you are not in the building, he builds in vain. Amen. Similarly, if a preacher preaches and you are not in the sermon, his preaching is in vain. Lord, we just want to invite you into everything. As you have been in the songs of Zion, we just want you to carry us through right into the sermon. Bless your people, undertake for them, as you also undertake for me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to say I love you with all that's within me. That's the testimony of my mouth. That's the confession from my heart. Lord, I love you. And I pray that you might have your way with us in Jesus' name. Bless Brother Andrew, the officers, and even Brother Jose and everybody with all their participation in the church events. I ask that, Lord, you might, from your bountiful mercies, extend to your people that they might have a dignity that is beyond what they are now. Undertake for them, O God, financially, spiritually, and physically. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Let me hear you if you love the Lord.
Amen.
My. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing. See, shouting, praise the Lord, releases an emotion of freedom.
Amen.
Because when you are not free, you are told, hush. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are places where there is announcement to say, please be quiet. Amen. And we only want you to be quiet at quiet time, because we want you to ponder about how much you shall shout. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
I'm a happy-go-luck. Praise the Lord. I love a bit of some shouting and praises. Then I know I've been in church. I've come to let off the pressure.
Amen.
That's the whole purpose of coming to church, to let off the pressure.
Amen.
If you have any pressure anyway, just release the valve a bit and say, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. You are letting off the pressure.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So good to see my sister, Sister Scotty. Amen. Praise the Lord. And also Sister Kesho. Glory be to God. And also all of you. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is home away from home to me. Amen. See Brother Shelt over there. God bless you, all of you. If I don't mention you by name, it doesn't mean that I regard you less. But I just want to say, God bless you, all of you. Amen. What a wonderful bunch of people you are. I love to come here. Praise the Lord. Brother Andrew doesn't have to persuade me much. And I don't even have to pretend to be spiritual to say, let me pray about it. He says, come. I believe he's prayed, so I'll come on his prayer. Amen. Because sometimes you see someone will tell you, come to this place, and say, no, brother, let me pray about it. And there are places that you just go because you know that I don't need to pray. He's already prayed. Amen. So I didn't pray about coming here. I just agreed because I understand and I know Brother Andrew done the praying. Praise the Lord. So I've made myself available, and I believe you are available. And when two omnipotents meet, the miraculous should happen. Somebody say amen to that. May God bless you. Let's turn to our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 20, to extract a text. Amen. And then I'll also ask you to, I'm still preaching from the same series, that our God will fight for us. But from yesterday, we understand that he fights for us through his compound redemptive names. So we are just taking the same thought a little bit higher so that it might benefit the children of God. If you are in any need and if you require anything, don't postpone it for next year, even now. Tomorrow you will just be walking into your testimony. If you set your faith the right way in this place right about now. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 20. Listen to this. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither to us. Our God shall fight for us. Amen. I want you to say this with me. Our God shall fight for us. Whether it's sickness, whether it's financial, whether it's spiritual, whatever it is. Let's say it one more time. Our God shall fight for us. May the Lord add blessings to the reading of his word. You may be seated in his presence. Amen. Today I've got a lot of scriptures and a lot of quotations, so I'm not nervous because this is a message church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Yesterday after service I had an awesome experience meeting Brother Lubanza's mom. Was quite a delightful thing to my heart because Brother Joseph Lubanza is a bosom friend. And a brother, he loves me and I love him. We come a long way. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was one of the brothers that stayed with him in my own home when he first came to the UK. Praise the Lord. So he and I share a very special bond. So Mama, I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. I read a certain quotation one time in the spoken word, and Brother Branham says in that spoken word, the amen side is the winning side. Amen. 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 The losing side is the quiet one, praise the Lord. But the winning side is the amen side. And then I read another quotation where he says, we are not made out of running material. We do not run away from our problems. We face them head on. Amen. And we tell that devil that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Amen. So whatever the devil has thrown your way, you've got to fight through it. Amen. You are not meant to avoid it. Neither are you meant to hide your head in the sand. You are meant to rise up and confront that Goliath. And tell that Goliath that you are the one in charge. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm wondering which is the better church to preach to, because I realize there's three churches in this building. There is that church with that wing over there, and there's the middle one, and then there's this one, and there's the fourth one in the cry room. So I just want to pitch myself very well so that I know the exact church to focus my sermon to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I measure that based on the way you respond. Amen. Because your response shows me where the pool is. So let me give that church a chance to find out where they stand. Are you believers over there? Hallelujah. Amen. I wonder if you are real believers. Let's pitch you with this congregation over here. Do we have some saints here? My. It looks like something is happening right there. Amen. I wonder if that church is in church tonight. Praise the Lord. Are there the redeemed of the Lord in the house of God there? My. I wonder what's happening in the cry room. Glory be to God. The sister has represented them well. I think we are all one big bunch. that is happy for the Lord. Are you happy?
Yes.
It's always good to preach to a happy church. So before I get to preach, I just want to make sure that everybody is happy. So I want to ask one more time, are you happy?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I'm so happy that Sharon has now got a job. Praise the Lord. So I was kind of like thinking that shall hand her over my size for shoes, shirt, suit, because I understand she's got a very good job. So, she's not married. She doesn't have no boyfriend. So it's my opportunity as an uncle and a father to have something bought for me before she goes where she's supposed to be predestined. Amen. So Sister Sharon, be sure to budget your money. And I've got very expensive taste. Amen. Look at my shoes. They are shiny. My shoes are not like every brother's shoe. So, Sister Sharon, I'm so glad to have been the day where you gave your testimony that God has blessed you. So I'm looking forward to be blessed by your salary. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I shall be online looking for a nice jacket, nice shirt, nice tie, nice belt, and everything is going to be so that next time I come to preach, I say, for those that want to be blessed, look at how smart I am. These compliments from Sister Sharon. Amen. Say amen to that, Sister Sharon, if you believe. Because if you believe and you say amen, I might actually speak your promotion just after they've announced for a permanent role. Then you say, Brother Crosby, whatever you require, I'm going to buy that for you. And then I in turn say, may the Lord promote you in the next 3 months. Praise the Lord. If you can believe it, you can receive it. This is exactly how I preach in my church. Praise the Lord. I preach with deadlines, and I preach particularly on a Sunday. I always expect the believers to get a testimony on a Monday. And I've seen it work and work and work and work. So I have no reason to believe it will not work in Dublin. So those that are under expectation, tomorrow our God shall fight for you. Oh my, if you worship in this kind of atmosphere, even now, tomorrow, you are walking into your promotion. You are walking into what God has ordained for you. And let it be that tomorrow, you wake up in the morning and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. And you begin to rejoice in that day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. It's so good to see all you folks. Praise the Lord. Just want to read with you a few scriptures before I solidify my sermon. Let us go to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, which means there are certain things that we must certainly believe.
Amen.
One of the things that we must certainly believe without any reservation is that God is with us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Scripture says, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, Amen. To write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. This is Luke writing to a gentleman called Theophilus. And he says, I want you to understand the things that we have believed. Now I'm writing you these things after having had perfect understanding that these things are most assuredly certain. There is nothing that we are talking about that is not real. And I want you to know that, Theophilus, And then he starts to speak about the history that there was in the days of Herod. He now gets into the story of whatever was in the life of Herod and how these people became what they became. Amen. But the thing of it, verse 1 to 4, I want you to catch it so that you understand where I'm going with my sermon. So let me read it again so that it smites your fifth rib. From verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Which means we are giving a mission statement of the things we stand by and the things we believe.
Amen.
Amen. And then it says, even as they delivered them unto us. Which means Luke himself is actually accepting that he's a recipient of the message. It says, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses. Which means an eyewitness told the story and he believed. Amen. Just like Isaiah chapter 53 says, who hath believed our report? To him the arm of the Lord has been revealed. So if you believe tonight that God will bless you Monday, the arm of the Lord will be. Amen. Amen. Listen to this. It says, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. And then he says, I just thought that it's not fair for me to be quiet with what I know. So he says, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of some things, of all things, from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know. He is telling Theophilus that he should know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed.
Amen.
In other words, the certainty of the message of the hour is unquestionable.
Yes. Amen.
The stories we heard about Sister Hetty Wright, those things happened and they can happen to your life today.
Amen.
Everything the message stands for. I don't care who's backslid and who thinks what, but those things are certain.
Amen.
Others have missed the presence of God and gone AWOL.
Yes.
But others still believe that those things are still most certain.
Amen.
Let me tell you, my brother, my sister, there is nothing
Amen.
In this world and in this earth Amen. That can sustain your life
Amen.
Other than the message of the hour.
Amen.
The message of the hour can work for you in your home, at work, in your spirit, in your soul. Every facet of life is covered in the message of the hour.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
So Luke then goes to Acts chapter 1. Let's go to Acts chapter 1 and see. It's again Luke who's addressing the book of Acts. And he says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Amen. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, by this now, Luke is addressing again Theophilus. And he's telling him that when Christ rose from the dead, he was seen for 40 days in different parts of the vicinity. Amen. He was seen by a guy called Cleopas and another one called, as they were going to Emmaus. So all those things, Luke is telling Theophilus that, brother, let me tell you, there is nothing wrong with this movement of God.
Amen.
This is absolute truth.
Amen.
The message of the day cannot be compared to nothing else. Because it is God in flesh making the bride, she becomes he. That is why deity is in us.
Amen.
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 You must know that you are a very, very special people.
Amen.
Right now in the whole of Dublin, you are the most important people, if not in Ireland.
Amen.
Right now, his eye is on the sparrow. He's watching what we are doing tonight.
Amen.
He's just waiting for the moving of the waters so that someone can jump in.
Amen.
And then when they jump in, they will walk into your blessing on Monday.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm not into postponing God because my prophet told me that there shall come a time that they'll speak the word and it'll flash like lightning.
Amen.
And I've got to speak that word. It's got to flash like lightning in your life. To God be the glory. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Or say amen, somebody.
Amen.
So I want to extract a test from there called perfect understanding.
Amen.
Amen. Perfect understanding. And I've subtitled it trophies. Perfect understanding is coming from the statement that Luke makes when he's addressing Theophilus in Luke chapter 1. He says, after having had perfect understanding. Which means, my brother, Luke had sat under a ministry that made him understand without no shade of doubt that the message of the hour, the message of their day cannot be compared to nothing, and those things are most certainly certain. There is no but about it. It's such a sure word of prophecy. Believest thou this? Now what's amazing is the way Luke addresses Theophilus. Theophilus is a person that I've been trying to investigate his origins, who he is, where he comes from. And I've read many publications from theologians, from people of high caliber, trying to make understand why this man is addressed in the book of Luke and why is he also addressed in the book of Acts. And I came to find out that there is no clear-cut, concise history about Theophilus. Absolutely not. Theophilus, some actually say, is a figure of speech. Some representation of a certain believer. That's one commentary from a certain theologian. And then I went to scour the message of the hour. The prophet never dealt with it. But one thing I noticed that the prophet dealt with was that we, the bride of Jesus Christ, the Gentile bride in the last day, we, when we know who we are, we shall write another book of Acts.
Amen.
Do you know, brother, Theophilus is addressed in the book of Acts and is addressed in the book of Luke. And the book of Luke, according to what we know in the message, is one of the living creatures, the beast that got the throne. Because we have four of them. We've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That got the throne of God. Amen. Unbeknown to us is that Luke is actually a Gentile representation. Because Luke walked with Paul. He was Paul's disciple. He didn't walk with the Lord. But he was Paul's disciple. And hence he was well versed in knowing the Gentile dispensation. And as he was Paul's disciple, he was the only perfect eyewitness to Paul's ministry. That is why he wrote the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is a Gentile bride book. And it's only book without an amen. Because we are supposed to reenact that book of Acts. Whatever happened in the book of Acts should happen in our lives. Somebody say amen. So because of not knowing the origins of this man called Theophilus, I got intrigued about the meaning of his name. And the meaning of his name is called friend of God. Theophilus, meaning friend of God, was a person Luke addressed his gospel in the book of Acts 2, which is the scriptures I've just read. He was probability, there is no certainty. But the things he was told were certain. But his origins, probably an official of high rank. He was a Gentile of rank and consideration. Now, whenever I see where there is a Gentile addressed, I see myself.
Amen.
Because the Bible is a book that is written as a love story to the believer. And the prophet says, if you read the Bible and don't see Christ, go read again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, being that he's of a gentle origin and is being addressed in a major gospel like the Gospel of Luke, and the only book which has the Acts of the Holy Ghost, which is the Gospel of the Acts, it makes me very, 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 very interested even in the meaning of his name. And I found out his name is a friend of God. And then came to think that there was another man who was also referred to as a friend of God. Let's go to James chapter 2, verse number 23.
Amen.
James chapter 3, chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And we have another man called the friend of God. But this man is called Theophilus. And Abraham is called the friend of God. And he says, unto these promises, they pertain to the true seed of Abraham, which is the Gentile that comes. We are the real true Jew. Those Jews, they, the ones that you go and see, the ones that are blinded right now, those ones are our type. We see them and we're supposed to see where we are. Where they say you'll always be the head and never the tail. Those people believe it carnally. We should believe it spiritually and walk into it. We are the best people on earth right now.
Amen.
We who believe the message of the hour.
Amen.
We are better than the Jews and the Philistines and everybody else. Because his eye is on the sparrow. He's watching us.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. So when I go to see the Jews in Israel, all I'm just seeing is their ways so that I know what I should be. Because I understand that Abraham was a Gentile before he was a Jew. Amen. And we are Jews by circumcision of the heart. And that makes us Theophiluses. Friends of God. I don't know about you. I don't know that congregation. Is there any Theophilus over there? Because a Theophilus is a person. If Brother Branham preached a message called Identification, and he brings about a little boy that had never seen himself in the mirror, and the boy saw himself in the mirror, and he waved his hand, and the boy in the mirror waved his hand, and he did a little action, and the boy in the mirror did a little action, and he says, that is me. Oh, brother, I'm looking in the mirror of the word, and I see someone called a friend of God, and I am a friend of God, and I see Theophilus, and I say, that is me.
Amen.
Amen. Do I have any Theophilus is here?
If I do,
shout amen.
Amen.
If you are here and you're a believer,
amen,
and you know that the book of Acts was addressed to believers,
amen,
and you are expecting to rewrite the book of Acts in your individual life,
amen,
you are most certainly Theophilus.
Amen.
Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
So Theophilus is a convert to Luke,
amen,
who is a convert to Paul.
Amen.
That is why I've subtitled my sermon, Trophies. Amen.
Amen.
But before I get right deep into my sermon, I would like to reiterate yesterday's point by reading this quotation, because it's the keynote quote for my entire series of sermons. Listen to this. Let's read it carefully. Now, in Washington, D.C., my name is recorded. Brother Branham says, it makes me they what nationality I am. Amen. Right. Simple thing. Brother Branham was an American. But in his passport, he was an American with an Irish descendant. The identity was Irish father, mother Cherokee Indian. Is that right? Just like if you are from Kinshasa, your identity is from the Office of Registration in Kinshasa. If you are from Zimbabwe, There is a place called Kagubi Building back in our country. That's where your identity is based. Praise the Lord. If you are from South Africa, there could be a place in Pretoria that holds the records of your birth. That is why some girls have to travel all the way back to South to get their passport, because that's where their identity is.
Amen.
They can't go, to the British High Commission, says, but I have a passport. They will say, go to the country of issue.
Amen.
So Brother Branham's country of issue is America. And listen to this. He says, what nationality I am, who my father and my mother, how much I weighed when I was born, my description, my prints of my thumb. You see, it's the expression to the nation. Amen.
Amen.
So even if my children have British passports, somewhere there in their passport there is something written, country of origin, Zimbabwe. And with Zimbabwe, there is country of... Everything has to go back to its origin.
Amen.
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 And listen to this. You see? That's the expression to the nation of who I am. Praise the Lord. I know Brother Lubanza has a series of sermons he calls Who I Am. Remind him I was preaching about who I am.
Amen.
Amen. Who I am. William Branham is recorded up there in Washington. Do you hear that?
Amen.
The record of William Branham's name, origin, birth certificate, date of birth, what shade of hair he has, it's in Washington, D.C. The description, the fingerprints, everything that identifies him is in the scars, birthmarks, everything, Washington, D.C. And he says, that's the expression of me to the nation. Now, that is my name. And then he changes his statement. So when God came down from heaven to be king over the earth, which is his country of origin, he expressed himself to his subjects in seven compound redemptive names. Jehovah Jireh was his first. It means God will provide himself a sacrifice. The next compound redemptive name is Jehovah Rapha. Mean, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And on he goes as Jehovah, our banner, our peace, our shield, our righteousness. That's what he is to us. In other words, if you were to ask him for his passport and his national ID, it has to show that he is Jehovah Jireh, he is Jehovah Rapha, he is Jehovah Nisi, he is Jehovah Shalom. Everything that he is, that's his ID. That's his photo ID. When he comes to the border of your life, let's say you are the immigration officer and Jesus comes as ID, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi. Everything about him is in his name. My. That's enough to make a Baptist shout. Listen to this. Says, that's what he is to us. So we can't separate those names. You cannot separate me from being called Crosby Maliko. That's my name. Is that right? Says, if he's still Jehovah Jireh, he has to be Jehovah Rapha also. If you can identify him in one aspect, you might as well identify him in the whole seven redemptive names. You see that? It says, if he's our provided sacrifice, he has to be our healer also. And the prophet says, so the names are inseparable. Last night we found out that was the era of Asa. He had him as Jehovah his fighter, but he didn't have him as Jehovah his healer, and he died.
Amen.
You've got to have him in all his name. It's all or nothing. That's what it is to the believer. And watch what the prophet says. When we accept him as Savior, we must also accept him as healer.
Amen.
As our peace.
Amen.
Okay, fine, you are saved. But you don't have to suffer in your salvation.
Amen.
He can still heal you. He can still give you peace. As our shield, he can still protect you. As our banner, all these redemptive names. And he says, God's present attitude to his people. It's now different, you know. He used to love David more than he loved us. He used to love Joshua, fight for them and all those guys. Is that what the prophet says?
No.
He says his attitude to his people now.
Amen.
The same.
Amen.
The same way he fought for them back then is the same way he'll fight for you right now.
Amen.
And the prophet says, now, I think myself that God has done just about all that there is to be done.
Amen.
That is why the prophet says he can no more heal you now than what he did 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
There is nothing he will do for you now. Whatever he will do for you, he's already done it.
Amen.
Yours is to accept it and to walk into it.
Amen.
Listen to this. Now, first, then Brother Branham, he says he's done everything. And then says, now, first, somebody say first.
First.
Number one. First, number one. He put the Old Testament for types.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And then after putting the Old Testament for types, then he sent the law. Then he sent prophets to back up the law. So number one, he put the Old Testament for types. Number two, he sent the prophets to back up the law. Then the law was for the whole nation. Are you understanding that?
Amen.
The prophet was to show the supernatural.
Amen.
The law was the letter of the law. But the prophet was a supernatural sign.
Amen.
And what he did for Israel, he does for the church.
Amen.
Let me break it down to your level. Let's read Exodus chapter 6. Verse number 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. Remember, he is the God that fights for us.
Amen.
So he's telling his prophet that, wait and see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. Amen. Amen. It says,
amen.
For with a strong hand shall he let them go. And with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his hand. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am
the Lord.
Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D.
Amen.
I am the Lord.
Amen.
That means I am Jehovah.
Amen.
He makes his first Exodus prophet to know. Now he is coming in his identity.
Amen.
I am the Lord. And he said, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, by the name God Almighty.
Amen.
But by my name Jehovah, was I not known to them. Jehovah, that is now Lord, L-O-R-D. In other words, when he appeared to everyone as God Almighty, going back to the text, to the quotation I've just read, it's like the Bible, it's for everyone, which is the law. But the prophet is the supernatural aspect. So every denomination and every church and every nation has the Bible, which is the law. But we in the message have a prophet's word, which is a confirmation of the supernatural. Now we know the correct identity of God, which gives us perfect understanding of how God operates. And then the Bible says, the people that know their God, they shall be strong and they will do exploits. So if you now know Him, tomorrow you can walk into your exploits. Because you now know, everybody says, I'm a Christian. Everybody says, God is for everyone. Indeed, God is for everyone. But Jehovah is not for everyone. Everyone might know Him as God, but I know Him as Jehovah, my provider. I know Him in full identity. Somebody say amen to that. So when you begin to understand that concept, you begin to see exactly why Daniel said, in that day, the people that know their God, they shall be strong. And they will do exploits. How do we do the exploits? Because we understand spiritual things. And we know how to tap into our spirits and to our soul to get what we want. Other people are having faith like hyssop, common faith. But we are having supernatural faith that's vindicated by a prophet's message. So now we can stand as Theophiluses to say, hey, after having clearly seen these things, I write unto you these things so that you can have a perfect understanding that if the message is not working, it's not that the message does not work. You are failing to work it. How many say, Lord, help me to work the message? My. Do you love the Lord? Oh, give the Lord a hand in praise, someone. Our God will fight for us. Yes. You must know that in any given circumstance, somebody that doesn't know God who cries, oh, God, deliver me. God is an object of worship. There is no identity to God. But to Jehovah, there is an identity. You then specify what you want Him for. Do you want Him for Jireh? Or do you want Him for healing? Do you want Him for peace? If you want Him for peace, you say, Lord, fix my marriage. Yes. It doesn't matter whether you are a woman or a man. You can still say, Lord, you are Jehovah, my Shalom. Amen. I need peace in my home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Every redemptive name is available to the believer. Amen. Do you see that? Amen. I hope I'm having you. I hope I haven't worn you out already. Because we are about to go for a ride. Amen. A ride in the types, because He says He gave the types. So for us to know that God fights for us, we've got to go to the types and then expect the same supernatural fighting that God did for us as we see them in the types. Believest thou this? And I like the first type I like of Joshua, praise the Lord, because Joshua types the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I like to see how the Holy Ghost has fought for His people. The Holy Ghost in the believer is what is supposed to make you calm. Now listen to this. It says, the prophet was for a supernatural sign. And what he did for Israel, present tense, he does for the church. Amen. That is why one of Brother Branham's signature messages was Israel and the church. Amen. So that he makes a correlation between the types and makes people understand the types. So that right now where you are in your situation, there is an appropriate type that you can pull out and see how Jehovah fought and expect the same way to be fought. Because He's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Believest thou this? Yes. Amen. So in order for the types to work, we must have problems. Yes. So that we can see how He fought in the problems. Yes. So before we go any further, how many would like to thank God for their problems? Because it's your problem that defines your Christianity. How many would like to just give God a thank you? Says, you measured me. And you saw me. And you knew that I'm able to bear these things. Because the Bible done already spoke and said, there is no temptation that will be given to you, but that which you can overcome. But if you can't overcome it, you make a way of escape. So he done measured your shoe size. He done measured your height. He done measured your heart. He knows what you can, take. That is why what you go through, people in the world commit suicide. But you expect to see God. Hallelujah! How many is under expectation to see God? My. Ah, this is a good congregation. I feel the vibration because the preacher feels it when it's coming from there. Amen. Your amens are not cheap ones. You know when you get some cheap amens of people that are not understanding or getting the drift. But yours are very expensive amens. May God bless you for your amens. Hallelujah. So remember, I've titled my subtitle is Trophies. Well, God will fight for us. Amen. After we have perfect understanding, and I've subtitled it Trophies. Amen. Did you see that? Uh-huh. Trophies. How we spoke about Theophilus. Mm. We spoke about these things that are commonly believed. And I'll never want you to let this quotation out of your thinking. Because it shows you God's attitude. If he had an attitude to deliver his people back then, to tell them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, I believe he's also saying the same thing tonight. Stand still tomorrow and see the salvation of the Lord. Are you with me? Let us go to Joshua chapter 10. As we enter into the trophies, before we go there, let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. Amen. I just want the last verse, which is number 12. Isaiah 53, I call it the mission statement of what Christ came to do for us. Amen. It describes everything that... Every redemptive blessing is right there in Isaiah 53. All that we require, that is his identity. That was a prophecy of his coming, so that when he comes to identify himself, we'll match his identity with the types. Says, let's read that together because I also want this to be in your spirit. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. I want to bring a special highlight to this portion of the scripture. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. That word spoil is trophy.
Yes.
Everything that was taken in battle, back to my quotes, everything that was taken in battle was always considered as a spoil for the children of Israel. Amen. If you remember that, a trophy, a spoil says, divide the spoil. But it never said you divide it with the weak. So what we need to teach you believers is that in your trial, be strong. That is why the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong.
Amen.
You've got to identify your strength. Because once you believe you are strong, that which is consuming others will not consume you. That which is leaving others depressed will not depress you. That which makes others commit suicide will not make you commit suicide. Because you are already strong. So let me say it one more time. Let the weak say, I am
strong.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And when you are strong, you will stand in the face of adversity without throwing in the towel.
Amen.
This is not a season and a time for pity parties. Pity party believers love the pastor. Because they can tell the pastor their problem anytime. Pastor, you know it has happened again. I thought this time it won't happen. You want the millennium before the millennium. Here you've got to be strong. Oh, somebody give God the praise. Those that believe they ought to be strong, give God the praise. In other words, nothing will be handed to you on a plate. Not even a testimony comes. You can't get promoted from your house. You've got to apply for a job first. And then you are taken in certain in conditions that are, all you want is to just let my foot step in. And once my foot has stepped in, I will use a scripture which says, footprints means possession. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We are meant to navigate life. Amen. Using the principles that God has given us. Amen. Because he gave us the law, the word, the Bible, but he also gave us a prophet to signify the spiritual. So right now, while your manager is at a golf course somewhere playing some golf, you are busy amassing spiritual strength to get his job. Hallelujah! My. You've got to believe in a certain way for things to happen. Oh, we need some crazy folks in this generation. You've got to be crazy enough to believe that God means what he said. Somebody say amen to that. Hallelujah. So a trophy is something that is taken in war. Something that is taken in hunting. You take it to a taxidermy. And then it's stuffed. And then you put it on your wall. You are showing everybody that I'm a hunter. And I don't hunt small things. I killed that thing myself. Yes. Don't play with me. It's about something to brag about. That's what a trophy is. Or something that you take from a competition, especially when preserved as a memento, a spoil, a prize, or reward. Now, a lot of you here have trophies, just that you don't know that they are trophies, so you don't regard them as trophies. You know, those that have a certificate that they put on the wall called BSc, Bachelor of what, MIMB, CHIMB, Medicine with Applied Chemistry, Doctor, Bachelor of Chemistry, Bachelor of Accounting and Finance. And then you get a certificate and it's got a seal of approval. And then you put it in a picture frame and then you hang it in your house or in your office. That's a trophy to tell everyone that I'm not the tea boy. I actually went to school for this. Because a trophy is supposed to be a reward. Amen. A prize. Praise the Lord. So if you come and tell people you have a degree and you don't have the trophy to show your degree, it's actually a trophy to show that you overcame all the homework from primary school and all the homework in high school and everything that came with A-level and everything that came with the first year of freshmanship until you now have a trophy.
Yes.
That's what a certificate is. It's a trophy to show that I'm not a dummy. All heads look alike, but my head has been somewhere and done something. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's your trophy. Are you with me? It says, anything serving as a token or evidence of victory. Your certificate is showing that others flunked and failed. I didn't.
Amen.
That's why those that need to go to school and come off of the... Oh, I'm going there again. Yeah, come off the social. Praise the Lord. That is why the church is in debt with the pastor's pies. It's the social. Praise the Lord. Come off the social. Yes, yes. We need people with high paying jobs. Come off the social. Amen. I told my church. I just came one day. I said, you people are used to me paying rent, paying everything. I'm not paying anymore. Then the bill started to accumulate. I said, whoever touches the tithes will preach tomorrow. They better be called for the job. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And from that time, Brother Anderson, am I speaking the truth? Yeah, that's what I said. This is an African thing. An African thing is, God bless you, brother. Thank you, brother. He's such a man of God. He doesn't even spend the tithes. Don't you know that you don't get blessed if he doesn't spend the tithes?
Amen.
You are shooting yourself in the foot.
Hallelujah.
That is why we have charities that go to Africa for donations. How come we don't have charities that come from Africa to donate over here? There's a credit crunch over here. things are not working over here. It's because we have African mentalities. Give me, lend me, let me have. Give me, lend me, let me have. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you, Pastor. Nonsense. Nonsense. Oh, I need some people that say, my sofa. The pastor's tithe is to buy himself. If he wants to buy some sweets and rot his teeth, that's up to him. But African worship, we want to find out what happens to the tithes. I told the church that me, I work 24/7. Answer the phone. I need to pay my bills. I need to live right. And I've got children. They need to be taken care of. And that comes from the tithes. T-I-T-H-E-S, tithes. Tithes is not for rentals. You people ought to be ashamed of yourself. Let's speak and help each other. Praise the Lord. I don't mind not coming to Dublin after 2-3 years. I have a church of my own, praise the Lord. I'm not looking for no pulpit. But let me tell you square and fair. If you are living in poverty, it's because of what you treat God's money like.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Pastor, can I see you? We've got problems. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. I did deal with problems and I saw that, no wonder I'm having a pity party. You know, Brother Andrew won't say this. He's very polite. He's a white man. I grew up with him. He will never mention no money. He will actually say, Brother Jose, you should have mentioned this when the visiting minister was not there. But the Holy Ghost wanted me to hear it so that I can rebuke you fair and square. And even you who go with your problems to the pastor, how can you go in the church in such indebtedness? The church owes 3,100 for 1 month and he's been doing it for years. No wonder you guys are poor, eh? I can see by the guys who drive outside. So, but brother, Pastor, Brother Andrew, you see the message, you see, the program told us that, you know, you see, it's for the humble. You misunderstood humility. We don't even know whether you are humble or not because you've not had money for us to see whether you are not proud. Humility is only measured when you actually have the money. Then we know you are humble. Oh, right now it's just a bunch of poor folks. Can't even pay their church bills, let alone their house bills. Next time I come to Dublin, I want to see a change. Not just a change, a big change. I get it. It's you folks that make us have very, very little love offering when we come to preach, eh? I was expecting some thousands upon thousands when I preach like this as a reward for my sermon. So now we have to understand. So Brother Andrew is really suffering. He puts the ministers in the hotels, he pays for their meals, and then he comes and pays your rent as well. And we are preaching and the things are just going on you like a duck, like water on duck feathers and going away. No wonder you're not being blessed. Somebody should repent today. Somebody should repent today. I might as well say it because Brother Andrew, I know Brother Andrew, if he was here, you'd have been getting red. But you know, Brother Crosby, that's who he is. He's choleric. He's choleric. I realize that if I don't deal with these things, I'm the one that suffers. Everyone will be having, Pastor, the bailiff is by my door. I've got no money. Okay, brother, we'll find Brother Wilmer. We'll transfer money into your account. Nonsense. You should be blessing the pastor.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Anyway, let's move aside from Samaria. Let's come back to the highway. Are we happy? Are we happy? Or give me a healthy amen if you are. Anything serving as a token or evidence of victory. So that's why scripture says he will spoil with the strong. Which means he wants to plunder the devil's kingdom.
Amen.
And bless his children with it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And he says, a symbol of success that is used to impress others.
Amen.
That's what a spoil is.
Amen.
So every time you read in your Bible, and Joshua went and they spoiled Ai, you should remember, it was God who divided. It was God's way of blessing them.
Amen.
Dividing the spoil with the rich.
Amen.
Sorry, with the strong. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the issue of spoil originated in the Bible. If somebody, some army defeated you, they spoiled you. And if you defeated the army, you spoiled them. So the issue is today, every demonic attack that comes to a believer, you ought to spoil it. Because you know the redemptive names to everything that can take you to your origin. I hope I haven't lost my congregation by just dealing with this issue. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If you just pay your bills, next time I won't preach like this. Amen. This wasn't on my notes. But it just happened to be on Brother Jose's notes. And I thought, let me put it nicely. Says, and the pastor wants to thank you. What is he thanking you for? For being broke? Says, the pastor wants to thank you for your contributions. Ha! Thank you for taking 3,100. My church will never do that to me. I'll tell them, I won't pass until all the money is back. Let me use a Shona expression. I'll put the English interpretation to it. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes,
amen. We really take God's things very lightly.
Yes, sir.
Do you really believe that this God can make a way for you?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So you see now, the issue of spoil was always in the Bible. And God has always wanted his people to spoil. That is why the New Testament says he spoiled principalities.
Yes.
Most of the things that people suffer with are principalities, spiritual things.
Amen.
And yet the word gives us the ability to spoil principalities.
Amen.
Are you with me, church?
Yes.
Joshua chapter 10. I just want to reenact a little drama for you there. Joshua chapter 10. Remember, Jehovah's attitude is still the same.
Amen.
Listen to this. Listen carefully. Now it came to pass when Adonizeg, king of Jerusalem, heard about Joshua, he had taken Ai and utterly destroyed it. And he had done to Jericho and her king. So he had done to Ai and her king. And the inhabitants of Gibeon, and had made peace with Israel, and were among them. That they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adonizeg, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Haram, king of Hebron, unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Deba, king of Eglon. How many kings are there? Five. Are you with me?
Amen.
Chapter, verse 4 says, come up unto me and help me that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Gibeon had made peace with the Holy Ghost. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their host, and encamped before Gibeon, and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto the Holy Ghost to come and camp at Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. Crying for help to the Holy Ghost. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not. Amen. And I'm saying to you tonight, whatever you are going through, whatever you expect, don't fear nothing. Amen. It says, for I have delivered them into thine hand, there shall not a man of them stand before thee. Amen. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel. Who fought for them? Who fought for them? His attitude is still the same. He'll fight for you as well. It says, and slew them with a great slaughter as at Gibbon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Rehorom, and smote them at Azekah and unto Makeda. The Holy Ghost was just smiting the people. And it came to pass as they fled before Israel and were in the going of Bethrom that the Lord,
yes, sir,
who fought for them?
Amen.
Capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah.
Amen.
Jehovah.
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Cast down great stones from heaven unto Azekah and they died. That's the God we serve. When he sees the enemy fleeing from you, he can say, okay, let's create some stones. Pa, 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 until they were all annihilated.
Amen.
And there were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword.
Amen.
Then we skip to verse number 17. 17. Now, all the army was dead, but the five kings that we read, they escaped. Now, did it mean that the Lord could not stone them? He actually let them run. It says, and it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makeda. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave and set men by it for to keep them. And they stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, smite the hindermost of them, suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hands. And it came to pass when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a great slaughter till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities.
Amen.
And all the people returned to the camp of Joshua at Makeda in peace.
Amen.
None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel.
Amen.
Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave. And bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings out unto him out of the cave. The king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out these kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of all the men of war which went with him, come near, put your foot upon the neck of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them.
Amen.
And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight.
Amen.
Amen.
What did God do? He allowed those men, even the hailstones did not touch them. They went and hid in the cave, says, put some guards, make sure they don't come out, because we want to have a drama after the war. We want to have a method of helping you understand that these things are most commonly sure.
Amen.
We want you to understand the power of God to deliver.
Amen.
So he brings out the men, and they are still alive. And Joshua says, bring all the men of war. Come, brothers. Right, the kings were laid down there. He says, come, brother, put your foot on his neck. The brothers were afraid. Me, my neck, put me. He's a king. He's a king, brother. You know, I mean, we've defeated them. Says, no, brother. Put your foot on the neck. So that you feel how it feels to put the devil under your foot. And I want you tonight to put your foot on the neck of whatever problem you have. Just say, I've got my foot on you, Satan. Says, put your foot on their neck. And they all put their foot there. Then afterwards, it was God's psychotherapy to the children of Israel to have a sense of victory that is just not verbal or just auditory, but something that they actually feel. I can imagine one sister going home and one brother going home to his sister, to his wife, and say, honey, come here. Today, says, what happened at war? Says, today. The war today was at another level. Our God came down and he fought for us. Says, yes, I know God always fights for us. Says, no. He fought for us in a different way. He was hitting people with stones. He was hitting people with hailstone. And he never hit or touched any of us. Then after the war, the kings ran away, even Lachish, because Lachish is the most difficult of the kings. Lachish means invincible. And I want you to put your feet on the most difficult of your cases.
Amen.
That which is invincible.
Amen.
Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Says, so, after the war, Joshua did a strange thing. Normally there is a way you treat kings and you kill them. Praise the Lord. But Joshua said to everyone, come. And we went. Is that Brother Joseph? I had not seen him, eh? How did you manage to hide from me? My. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Hey, can you say amen?
Amen?
Can you say amen? Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. So Lachish now, he's sitting and everybody was playing this psychotherapy. I put my foot on his neck. So my, our God is real. My foot was on his neck. He says, really? On the king. He says, oh yeah. Joshua told us that every time we do this, that's what's going to happen to every king. If we learn to fear nothing, every other obstacle is going to be defeated. Hallelujah! Amen. And I want you, brothers and sisters, to know that tonight we are under a psychotherapy, taking away the spirit of fear. And when he put his foot there, it felt good. It was a surreal moment. That is why every believer ought to have an experience with Jehovah. Because one experience makes way for another experience. And that experience will always tell you that my God is real. He will fight for me every time, every hour. He is so real. Believers, now this tonight, God was playing a psychotherapy game. And every soldier was made to put their foot on the neck. They went home different. They now thought different. That is why God gives us testimonies, so that our conception and our perception of God differs from the moment that God does something supernatural in your life. Somebody say amen to that. That is why every believer ought to have a trophy. A trophy is something that you take as an achievement for God's strength and power in your life. Every believer ought to have something that they hold as a trophy for God's glory. After that psychotherapy, Joshua then allowed those kings to be killed and chopped off their heads, and they were put on sticks the whole day for all Israel to see with God all things are possible, and to all Israel to see the head of Lachish dripping with blood, because God always requires a trophy. A trophy is something that you go back to say, this is what God has done for me. A testimony becomes a trophy. And every one of us ought to have a testimony. Starting tomorrow. Somebody say amen. Starting tomorrow. You ought to have a testimony that you say, it was because of Sunday service. I put my feet on Lachish. I put my foot on the devil. Somebody shout amen. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Why did God allow Joshua to put the heads of the five kings? So that in the minds of the children of Israel, they begin to trust in their God. They will always refer to that as a point of victory. That is why every testimony that should come to your life should be some point of reference as a point of victory. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. A life without testimony is a miserable life as a believer. Are you with me? Yes. A life and a church without testimony is miserable too. Yes. After all that God can do, a believer will come to worship because they have a testimony. You won't get into no politics because God himself is fighting for you. Yes. Are there any believers that are ready for God to fight tomorrow? Yes. Or I'm looking for a testimony for tomorrow. Yes. Joshua. There were some polite brothers that didn't want to put their foot on the neck. Says, "Oh, it's cruel. It doesn't feel good, you know. I mean, still waters run deep. You know, they are dying anyway. I mean, we've already defeated them. I mean, we don't have to be nasty. Ah, brother, not when the devil has been nasty to you. I'm looking for a fight with the devil, and I want people with a fighting spirit." So the heads were left there for all the people to see.
Yes.
Those were God's trophies.
Amen.
Because it was God himself who hit the people with the hailstone. And Joshua types the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And remember the quotation I've read for you says, Jehovah's attitude is still the same.
Amen.
He gave us types and shadows so that we know his attitude.
Amen.
His attitude is still to work the miraculous in your life tomorrow.
Amen.
This is Joshua chapter 10.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 11, more kings come. Chapter 10, five kings. Chapter 11, more than five kings. And the people look at the whole scenario. Joshua chapter 11. Let's have a quick read. Are you tired?
No.
Can I still preach?
Yes.
Joshua chapter 11. So they needed these trophies to remind them of God's victory. Listen, and it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazar, had heard those things that he sent Joban, king of Madon, and the king of Shiram, and the king of Arphad. How many kings are there?
Three.
And the kings that Jabin, king of Hazar, had heard. Sorry. Right. I want us to count the kings. The last I counted, there were more than five. Which means God needed those people to see his power on the five kings so that they can believe that if he undertook for the five kings, it's not an issue of number, it's an issue of faith.
Yes, sir.
So, and it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazar, that's 1, 2, Joban, 3, Maldon, 4, Shimon, 5, Ashphat. Now, verse 2. And the kings that were on the north, so we start. Let's take a conservative number. Let's say 2. At least more than 2. We are already now on what? 6, 8 kings. Kings on the northern mountain. Kings and of the south of the plain. Chimron in the valley and in the border of Doa. Verse 3. And the Canaanites on the east. We are now more than, we're almost 10 kings now. And the Amorite and the Hazite. Hattite, Perizzite, Jebusite, Havite, Hermon, Mizpeh. And they all came out, and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots, every man. And when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched at the waters of Meron to fight against Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them. Be not afraid. That is why I say tomorrow. Says, for tomorrow, about this time, tomorrow, round about 10 past 1, someone ought to have a miracle. Someone ought to have a testimony. Tomorrow. round about this time.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Watch.
Amen.
Joshua.
Hallelujah.
The kings have, they've all flooded the place to overwhelm them with what they see. But brother, faith does not operate by sight.
Amen.
It's an internal belief.
Amen.
It's something way within.
Amen.
And Joshua, God simply says, Joshua, these guys, all of them, tomorrow, they will not be there. Don't worry.
Amen.
Don't worry. And I can imagine Joshua, the Holy Ghost, going to his people and saying, ha ha, brothers, don't worry about those guys.
Amen.
Remember the incident of the five kings? The Holy Spirit, Joshua himself said, this is what you shall be doing from every king. So it's not about numbers. It's about putting your foot on the devil. It's not about situations. So God needed them to have the five kings experience so that they can look forward to the more than 18 kings experience. One victory that you have today is to set you up for a greater adversary tomorrow. Somebody say amen to that. So God, he has done his psychotherapy with his children. And the people now appreciate you ought to have trophies for the glory of God.
Amen.
Do you understand? Somebody say trophies.
Trophies,
trophies.
Trophies.
For the glory of God.
Glory of God.
A testimony is a trophy.
Amen.
An achievement to show that this is what God has done in my life.
Amen.
So every believer right about now is entitled to a trophy.
Amen.
As I'm speaking right now, receive your trophies.
Yeah.
Receive your trophies.
Yeah.
Receive your trophies.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And there was a young man who understood the issue of trophies. His name was David.
Yeah.
David, there was a big, big, big uncircumcised problem.
Yeah.
That big uncircumcised problem that stood before David. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I've got my hanky there. You seem to forget when you are preaching, eh? That you've got your stuff over here. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Are you happy?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Let me find out which church is more happier. Are you happy?
Amen.
Okay. Are you happy? Okay, that church is not so happy. Let me ask them one more time. Are you happy?
Yeah.
We are all happy. Somebody shout amen.
Yeah.
When you say amen, you are just showing the devil which side you belong.
Yeah.
And the prophet says, the amen team is the winning team. Direct quotation. So if you say amen, you are saying you are playing in the winning team. Hallelujah. My, I feel religious.
Yeah.
I feel religious. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So you notice Joshua chapter 11, the war intensifies. But these people were not frightened because they were now in their conscience aware of what Jehovah is capable of doing. It says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time, which means tomorrow by 1:15, someone should be ringing with a testimony.
Amen.
I will deliver them all slain. In other words, God is saying, tomorrow I will make sure that I hand them to you, all of them dead.
Amen.
My. Every demon has got to die. Every funny spirit has got to die. It says, I'll deliver them all dead before Israel. It says, and thou shalt harrow their horses. To harrow is to put a hole in the leg. It's their horses you shall be harrowing. And their chariots with fire. So Joshua came, and all the people of war with him, against them by the waters of Meron. Suddenly, and they fell upon them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto the great Zidon, and unto Mezraporaim, and unto the valley of Mizpeh eastward, and smote them until they left none remaining.
Amen.
None remaining.
Amen.
And I want to say to every situation, after this sermon, none should remain.
Amen.
None should remain.
Amen.
Remember last night we said, Don't miss God, the presence of God unrecognized. If you miss God, he won't release his power. But if you catch his presence right now, his power will be released. Don't postpone your situation for next week, even now as I'm preaching, because the preaching of the gospel makes things happen. Somebody say amen. Bend their chariots by fire. My, these are the stories that David grew up on. The greatness of Jehovah. And he was a shepherd boy on his own in the forest. And he saw a big uncircumcised problem called Goliath. Praise the Lord. And when he heard about Goliath, everybody was shaking their knees. Even General Abner. The ones that were supposed to tackle Goliath were the ones that were shaking the most. Somebody say amen to that. Then David arrived on the scene. And Goliath spoke the wrong time.
Yes.
He should have spoke before the guy arrived.
Yes.
He should have gone to the toilet before David arrived. He spoke the wrong time. And those words fall on the right ears.
Yeah.
And David heard and he saw his brother says, is this what you guys have been waiting for all these years? He says, oh, look at him. 40 days you've been waiting for? He says, look at him. And then Goliath took a glass of water to drink. To him, it was a 200 drum liter. Come. He says, look at the drum that he's holding. And his spear was a weaver's beam. He says, nobody has a spear like him. See, the problem is you walk by sight instead of walking by faith. You are, don't describe your enemy. Just know that your enemy ought to die. Don't describe that the cancer, it's painful and it's moving upwards. Just say, you must die. You must die. Somebody say amen to that. As we are preaching, the Holy Ghost is descending and descending, and it's giving a chemotherapy and a radiotherapy on all sicknesses and all situations for the glory of God. Somebody shout amen. And then David asks, if I kill that guy, if I kill that guy, are there any trophies? What's for me? What will I get as a memorial of my victory? Says, ah, let's take the news up to Abner. We'll take the news to Saul. And they said, General, there's a young man. He seems to think that he can tackle the giant. He says, was he trained in your regiment? He says, I've only seen him for the first time today. And then Saul said, Abner, this is a critical situation. You can't come with novices at a time like this. Says, but the young man says he wants to talk to you. Hear him out. What have we got to lose? Hear him out. Brother, with faith, you've got nothing to lose because you're already lost. You might as well have faith. Yeah, without faith, you're already lost. You might as well have faith. Amen. Says, okay, bring the young man. The young David came with all his enthusiasm. Yeah, I'm David. Says, tell me a story. Says, it's like this, yeah. Remember, he was a young man, so he probably had no manners of how to approach people of that rank. It's like this, yeah. I was herding my dad's sheep, yeah, and a lion came, and I slew it. Abner looked at Saul and Saul looked at Abner and says, is this young man for you? Says, do you have any evidence? Says, I should have kept the head, man. Should have done something. Says, you don't have the evidence. Says, okay, young man. We just want you to go for a week sparring with Abner. He will teach you tricks of the trade. I'll give you my own sword. I notice your enthusiasm. I don't want to do down your enthusiasm, but I just want to give you the sword. Remember, I'm anointed by the Lord, so I just want to give you the sword. Give you a week with Abner's regiment. David went for a week. That was the most miserable week of his life because the thing was too heavy. He didn't even have the tactics. He couldn't even try and even have a pose like he knows a bit of karate. Nothing. Nothing like that in David's life. And then after a week, he came back. He says, we've just had a report from the regiment that your sparring techniques are very dismal and your sword handling is disgraceful. And we are not thinking of enlisting you right now when we have such a problem. And then Saul said, but you know what? If we let the boy go, we might actually buy a few more days to say we now have a champion to fight you. So we'll still maybe a week or so. Let's say we've got someone to come to you, Goliath. And then we'll have a week of peace. And then during this week, we'll make sure that Eliab and all the people are digging down a tunnel from here, right where Goliath stands, so that when he stands there, the wall collapses on him, and then we kill him. It's a good strategy. So those guys, they put David just to buy time for themselves. It wasn't even a war strategy. It was nothing. David told them, I killed a lion. I killed a bear. They never bought the story because the young man had no trophy. He had no evidence. So this time now, David, after the week, says, as long as you allow me to go, the boy spoke some quotations and scriptures, and the people said, you know, since he's standing on the word, our God can do anything. Let's just let the young man go. Amen. And yeah, brother David went there. And he says, you come to me. You know the story. Praise the Lord. And I come to you in F-A-I-T-H. In J-E-S-U-S. Amen. And Goliath says, I ask for a man, not a boy. And God said, when you ask for a man, we give you a boy. Every challenge that a believer faces, it's a boy-sized challenge. Most of the things that are making believers cry are children's scout challenges. So God sent Goliath. And when Goliath did his thing, David, when he slung his sling, and it went right where he is always known when it goes there, absolutely no chance of survival. And he actually saw the thud, the way Goliath fell, was evidence enough that that guy is not faking death. It's not what started, the guy's dead. This time, he realizes, I must come up with a trophy. Yes. He never waits. He runs right up to where he is, and he steps on him. He takes his head, and he raises his trophy, and he holds the head of Goliath, and he tells to his people, Israel's problem, my trophy. Israel's giant, my trophy. And I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, whatever problem there exists, it should be your trophy tonight. You know what stops believers from getting trophies? Is fear. Fear. Put 1 John chapter 4, verse number 15. I want to read this clearly to you so that you understand. I do not want to leave this place and not leave you with something solid and a trophy to show. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 15. Are you with me, church? Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Have you found it? Listen to this. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. Amen. Deity is in you. Amen. Is that right? Amen. And he in God. Amen. 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Amen. That is why we are teaching you about Jehovah's attitude. Amen. Is still the same. Amen. God is love. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Amen. And God in him. Amen. Do you see the key? If you dwell in love, you dwell in God, and God in you. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Somebody say, Lord, let me dwell in your love. Amen. Says, and here is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. You mean to tell me you are God's representation on earth?
Amen.
As he is. Amen. The present form of Jehovah is what you are on earth. Brother, you ought to be commanding situations.
Hallelujah.
You ought to be saying to yourself, watch.
Amen.
It starts by telling you the love.
Amen.
That is the proper agape love. This is not some filial funny love. This is the wholesome love that is pure from the fountain of God. If you live in that love, you are too powerful for the devil. There is not enough devils in hell that can ever defeat you walking in that love. And then John, the beloved, makes sure that he tells people so that you can't just preach one-sided and not tell people where they need to investigate.
Amen.
And watch this scripture. There is no fear in love.
Amen.
But perfect love casts out fear.
Amen.
Everyone who is fearing anything, you don't love God enough.
Yes.
Amen.
If you love God enough, it's enough to dispel your fear.
Yes.
Amen.
David loved God enough. He said, though he slay me, yet will I love him. If you have some insecurity, some fear of some form, the question is not what will happen or what might happen. The question is you don't love God enough.
Amen.
Listen to this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Remember, our sermon is perfect understanding.
Amen.
You can't have perfect faith without perfect understanding.
Amen.
And you can't have perfect faith without perfect love.
Yes.
It says perfect love casteth out fear.
Yes.
Because fear hath torment.
Amen.
He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
Amen.
I was reading my Bible. I stopped on that scripture. I didn't even go to verse number 19. So let me stop here. One scripture with four fears. Let's go back. One scripture. In one scripture, you have four fears. There is no fear in love. One. Perfect love casts out fear. Two. He that feareth. Because fear is torment. Three. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Four. As a preacher, I said, four. Let me go to the origin of this word. Back to my quote. To the origin of this word. It means phobos. That word fear in Greek is phobos. That's where you get the word phobia. So once you begin to read back the scripture with its original, you say, there is no fear, there is no love in phobias.
Yes.
Let's read it back. Go back to the scripture. Let's read it with the word phobos, phobia. That's where you get the word phobia, terror, dread, terror. That makes sense. There is no phobia in love.
Yes.
Because perfect love casts out phobias.
Amen.
Because phobias have torments. And he that has phobias is not made perfect in love. Some people have different types of phobias. But I have singled out one phobia that affects the believers. And that's what I want to deal with tonight. Back to my quote. Are you with me? Because to have faith, you must attack fear. Because they operate the same. Praise the Lord. Back to my quotes, my sister. I'm running behind time. Listen to this. I singled out this particular phobia called attic phobia. That's the one that affects believers.
Amen.
Listen, don't worry about the big word. Worry about what it means and examine yourself. Attic phobia is the abnormal, unwarranted, persistent fear of failure. You are always afraid that it won't work. A type of specific phobia. As with many phobias, a tick phobia often leads to a constricted lifestyle.
Amen.
You can't buy a bigger house because you are afraid, what if the bills get more? Can't buy a bigger car. see a brother with a car written 3-liter engine, says, "Oh, brother, too much fuel." Tick phobia. You are thinking it's conservative. We serve a very, very big God. You can't trust. You know, there are some brothers who don't even, some sisters who don't want their brothers to be promoted. Because to just think that my husband is a secretary at work, says he might fall with the secretary. Until the brother will remain, if he's a spanner, or you remain there, you will not be promoted. He goes home to tell his wife that God wants to promote us. I was reading the Bible this afternoon. And I was reading where Paul says godliness with contentment. You are using the scriptures wrong.
Amen.
You are using the scriptures wrong.
Amen.
To justify your unbelief.
Amen.
A tick phobia. My. I hope as you are giggling, you are catching it.
Amen.
Because I am dead serious.
Amen.
I need to see you delivered out of this sermon.
Amen.
God chose the foolishness of preaching to deliver his people.
Amen.
A tick phobia. Brother will never propose to a woman because he's afraid if she says no. You are fear of failure. You hate to be rejected until you're almost now 40 and single, praying about it. You pray and act. A tick phobia. You want to be assured of your future. Love the Lord. He will assure your future. A tick phobia. You want some assurances before you exert yourself. That's not the way we are meant to live.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You are not even meant to love a man because he's got some things that you can see. You are supposed to hear his experience in the backside of the desert. Then you will know there are things that might come.
Yes.
Know the caliber of the man. With attic phobia, it says attic phobia often leads to a constricted lifestyle. Now you guys, how can you even get a bigger church when your rent payout is in overdraft? You owe the pastor 3,100. Huh? The pastor comes and says, "We found a nice place. Nice place to worship." He says, "Let's go back to that one. Constricted lifestyle. Let's go back to that one." You thinking it's humility? It's fear of failure.
Amen.
They found a bigger place. It's more expensive. Even Brother Jose showed us the report. The money is little. Why did they find a bigger place? A tick phobia. Says he. Now, it says it often leads to a constricted lifestyle. That word constrict is synonymous with a snake called a serpent. A python. It's called a constrictor. It binds you. Why do you live a life bound when the word has come to liberate you? Constricted. You always see disaster. You always prepare for danger. Listen to this. A constricted lifestyle that is particularly devastating for its effects on a person's willingness to attempt certain things. A brother says, I can't buy a new car. I mean, everyone's got old cars at church. I mean, new car. You want brothers where you ring, you want cars where you ring each other before service. Brother, I've just had a breakdown. Let's look for brother's coat. I think it's oil. I think it's some shock absorbers. Believers of the message of the hour. With Jehovah and all his description in the message. A tick phobia. Are you still happy to have me preach?
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'll come after 2 years, praise the Lord. So I might as well preach my heart out.
Yeah.
Tick phobia, you see brothers with little crowded, little places. You see things, confuses. You know, I'll move when God wants me to move. God wants you to move, my brother. God has never designed for you to live like that. Yeah, I'm waiting for the Holy Ghost to speak to me. I'm speaking. Move.
Yeah.
Move. Move. Somebody say amen. Move. Move. Yeah, but brother, it's an apartment that God gave me, brother. God's apartment. You live like a bed. Get a house. Somebody say amen to that. Children need to run around in a garden. You are making them have a constricted life. Make some noise and the neighbor will go, goo, 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 goo. You are making noise right in there. Brother, we are God's children.
Amen.
And our God can deliver us.
Amen.
Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Listen to this. It is particularly devastating to its effects on a person's willingness to attempt certain things. That is why you never find an African who does bungee jumping. An African who thinks the rope will just be loose when it's my turn. A white man who goes and says, whoa! A black man says, me, I've got bad luck. Me, I've got bad luck. I once said to Sister Flo, you know, I'm thinking of buying myself a motorbike. She says, no, you will die. You mean to tell me with all the manufacturers of motorbikes, I'd buy and I die? Never. 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 I'm not the dying type. I'm rapture material. I'm rapture material. I'm the one to tell you, brothers. I had coffee with Brother Branham at Starbucks. Telling me, get ready, time is up, my son. Get ready, get ready. Just really, Brother Branham said, yeah, I sat with him, we fellowshipped. And then another one comes and says, brother, I just saw one photo of Omen Neville. I saw him. Before the resurrection, we have to see the saints that have gone to warn us of things that are about to take place. Wasn't he seen in Jerusalem? Abraham and the rest of the patriarchs were seen for 40 days and 40 nights. What do you think our resurrection is going to be like?
Amen.
There has to be telltale signs. Little whispers to the bride that I'm about to do something.
Amen.
Fear not, little flock.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So whenever you see, whenever God comes to the people, he starts by saying, fear not.
Amen.
Don't have attic phobia.
Amen.
It will constrict you.
Yes, sir.
It will constrict you. You can't do nothing. So you are accepting to have a python wrapped around you as a believer. Simply coming to church, and church becomes a comfort blanket. Brother, we've got to have God do things for us.
Amen.
We've got to have trophies for the glory of God.
Amen.
Are you with me, church?
Amen.
Listen to this. It says, attic phobia. The term attic phobia comes from the Greek word phobos. That's where you get the word. There is no fear in love.
Amen.
So if you see yourself unable to express your faith, unable to act out in faith, you are gripped by attic phobia.
Amen.
That's one sign. Says, let's buy a bigger house. Says, what if the interest rate gets high? God will bless you more.
Amen.
That's how a man who is liberated said, if God gives it to me, he will keep me in it.
Amen.
Are you with me, church?
Amen.
Listen to this. Phobos, meaning fear, or morbid fear, and atiki, meaning unfortunate. Do you know that you can put the spirit on your children?
Yes.
It'll be like you are teaching them to be Christians. You know, godliness with contentment. You know, happiness does not consist of all the world's goods. You are using quotes wrong. Until your child will grow up without an ambition. And Brother Bram says, I have no regards for a man without an ambition.
Amen.
I have no regards for a pastor without an ambition.
Amen.
I have no regards for a believer without an ambition.
Amen.
Says, he gives an example of a man that he met and says, fix him a sandwich. Says,
in
the message, faith is your victory. Says, how are you? Says, just about fine. Says, where are you coming from? Nowhere. Where are you going? Nowhere. Okay. How long have you been doing this nowhere thing? It's about 20 years now. Brother, next time I come to preach, I want to see a difference.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I want to see a difference.
Amen.
In your demeanor, in the way you carry yourself up. See, people have a misconception about pride and humility.
Amen.
I believe I'm one of the most humblest people I know. Myself, very humble.
Amen.
Very, very humble.
Amen.
I'm one of the most humblest people I know. But I'm very smart. Very articulate. Nice, my nice. I like my nice things. Because I also realize I'm representing Christ. If I meet my classmates and I tell him I'm a preacher, and they start to say, are you these preachers that preach for money? I want to say, no. I'm one that's called by God to preach people into eternal life and lead them in this life. Sanctified, righteous preacher of God. Says, as a matter of fact, I left business to preach. Really? Yeah, that's who I am. And then that man should come to my house, see my wife, elegantly dressed. See my house, nicely decorated. Look at me, nicely suited out. Sharon, remember our issue. Praise the Lord. Look at me and everything I'm going about. Not to misrepresent Christ. Some people don't come to the message because they will come to your house and they see you sticking the picture of a prophet with sellotape. The way you present yourself, you are thinking it's righteousness. Where do you take that example from? Look at your own prophet. Look at his photos.
Amen.
Look at his life. But yet there is nobody that was as humble as William Branham.
Amen.
Let's represent the message well.
Hallelujah.
Let's not have that attic phobia.
Amen.
Let's read how people with attic phobia behave. Persons afflicted with attic phobia. This is their mindset. Considers the possibility of failure so intense that they choose not to take the risk. Can't do nothing. Because this is, who has ever, it's difficult. I don't want to try. Faith is an issue of risking. If your faith got no risk, it's not faith.
Amen.
Faith is a risky business.
Amen.
Listen to this. They don't take no risk, says. Often these persons will subconsciously undermine their own efforts so that they no longer have to continue to try. See a brother that's being promoted to church, they start to scandalize the brothers. Brother, we need to pray for him. See, now they are going up and up in the society. That brother, he might backslide. You see what people with attic phobia think like?
Amen.
Instead of thinking, one of ours is blessed.
Amen.
You are thinking to pull him down. What could have happened to Israel if Joseph was not at the top?
Amen.
What could have happened to Israel if Nehemiah was not at the top?
Amen.
What could have happened to Israel if Daniel was not at the top? Why is it that the Bible says we'll always be the head and never the tail? And message believers are content being the tails. Oh, somebody say amen. Help me preach somewhere. Can I still preach? Or have I offended you enough you want me to stop right here? If you want me to preach, give me a resounding amen. Let's go. Persons with attic phobia considers the possibility of failure so intense that they choose not to take the risk. Often these people will subconsciously. Remember, Brother Bram says, your conscious world is 10%. Your subconscious is 90%. You are flooded with thoughts of failure. You undermine your own effort. You don't need a brother to discourage you. You are your own discourager. Listen to this. Undermine your own efforts so that they no longer have to continue to try. Because effort is proportionate to the achievement of personal goals.
Amen.
And fulfillment. It's unwillingness to this unwillingness to try that arises from the perceived inequality between possibility of success and failure. These are the people who say, it never works. Me, nothing ever. I've been praying and praying. These are the people that say, I'm waiting on the Lord. Brother, you pray, believe. Brother says, do you know what prayer is? Prayer is actually helping yourself get convinced of your faith.
Amen.
Direct quotes. Here's another time. I read all these quotes. I'm saying I read them in my church at time. Brother Branham says, "Say some people, they want to give a scripture for an excuse for their lack of faith. They will say, all things work together for good." And Brother Branham says, shame on you, misappropriating a quotation.
Yes, sir.
What good can come out of poverty? Brothers, I've been rich and I've been poor. And I can tell you poverty is a case.
Amen.
It's a real case.
Yes.
And that is why it's prevalent amongst the people of our color. We need to get out of this spirit.
Amen.
Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Yeah, but what if God comes, brings you to church when you are poor? So should you be have a complex? You know, there are some people who are so down. That's why we are preaching, so that you come out of your poverty.
Amen.
Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Can I still go with this attic phobia?
Listen
to this. Because effort is proportionate to achievement of goals and fulfillment. This unwillingness to try that arises from perceived inequality between possibilities of success and failure holds the attic phobia back from a life of meaning and realization of potential. It's fear. How many say I'm delivered from that tonight? If you are able to defy gravity and say, I'm delivered from that, God is giving you grace for it. How many guys? I don't want this spirit anymore. I do not want to fear. Because it leads you to a constricted life. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Can I still go with my sermon? This is what Brother Bram says. Remember, our theme is, God will fight for you. But you must have perfect understanding. And each believer must have their own trophy. Praise the Lord. Says, what will be your theme? Brother Bram says, where there is tongues, they shall cease. Where there is prophecy, it shall fail. Where there is knowledge, it shall vanish. We know in part, and we see in part. We prophesy in part. But when we see face to face, then we will know as we are known. How are we known? As he is, so are we. That's how we are. That's how heaven knows us. Heaven knows us as amateur gods. Are you with me? Listen to this. And that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. And Brother Branham makes this remark. If you're following my series as I started on Friday, on Saturday, it says, perfect, redeeming, unadulterated love of the Holy Ghost into the human soul that's passed from death unto life. Now, if we have that perfect, unadulterated love of the Holy Ghost, fear will vanish away.
Amen.
Because that love cannot coexist with attic phobias and whatever phobias. That love wants God to manifest himself from the soul. That's why it says perfect, unadulterated love, redeeming. Redeeming means there is a function of Jehovah himself coming with seven redemptive names. Do you see that? Now, Brother Branham speaks about his trophy. Remember when we started, I told you that Luke is Paul's trophy, and Luke has a trophy called Theophilus. And now Brother Branham says, Rosala, out into the jails and everything, working for the Lord. When she came, she was miserable, wailed, wretched, drunkard-looking thing, full of dope, and out of swing holes down in the city with a court opened like this and bottles of whiskey poured down in it. And the highest doctors of the city said, there's not even a hope for her. But oh, that mighty conqueror come riding one day. Here she is tonight.
Amen.
A lovely, beautiful young lady.
Amen.
A trophy.
Amen.
Of God's grace.
Yes.
Remember the definition of trophy. Something to show an achievement.
Amen.
Something to show others what can be done.
Amen.
And listen to the prophet. What happened? Sure, medicine, Alcoholics Anonymous, nothing could cure it.
Amen.
but the mighty conqueror who conquered every temptation, every habit, everything that the devil put on men. The mighty conqueror conquers everything the devil puts on So I have no reason to believe what the devil has put upon your life cannot live tonight.
Amen.
Because the mighty conqueror is here.
Amen.
Don't miss his presence. He's here
Amen.
To leave you delivered.
Amen.
Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Listen to this. And Rosala. Sorry. And he conquered it. And watch what the prophet says. And Rosala is a testimony, a trophy. To it. Not only hey, because a trophy is to show others. Not only hey, but thousands of others like her. So she was God's trophy, God's certificate, God's achievement, God's spoil, God's achievement to show other alcoholics that was your case bigger than this. If it wasn't, you can be delivered. I remember in one of the tapes, Rosala comes with another drug addict into the prayer line. And Brother Branham descends the drug addict and says to the drug addict, "You are a dope addict, my sister. God wants to deliver you from them drugs." And the father was in the congregation and he stood up angry and says, "Don't you say my daughter is a drug addict?" And the daughter knew she was in the presence of Jehovah. She turned around to her father and said, "Daddy, he is speaking the truth."
Amen.
Because that was discernment. Showing daddy that you don't know where your daughter stays.
Amen.
You don't know what is captivating her. But the Holy Ghost is here
Amen.
To reveal the mystery
Amen.
For her deliverance.
Amen.
She was a trophy that came through Rosala.
Amen.
Which means your life is meant to be a trophy of God's grace so that someone can see how God has taken you from the ridiculous to the sublime and then take courage. So if your life remains stagnant, where you were 5 years ago is where you are. Things have got to change. Things have got to progress. Things have got to look better. Somebody say amen to that. It says, so that others can look. We ought to look at your life
Amen.
And believe in the God of possibilities.
Amen.
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 There is nobody who God can't give a visa.
Amen.
Because he has given the worst case scenario a visa Amen. In our church. And that is the worst case scenario.
Amen.
Never heard of that type of a case.
Yes.
Only in our church.
Yes.
There's a brother who used to work for the immigration office illegally. Illegally, and they arrested him. They put him into prison, served his sentence. He was discussed in parliament. Your case is not being discussed anywhere right now. As you are speaking, you are your case is having a stamp right now. The guy is thinking of putting a stamp tomorrow. And when the letter comes, look at the date and remember this sermon. Somebody say, amen. Somebody say, amen. Somebody say, amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That brother got his visa against all odds. He decided to be a guitarist in church. He taught himself. He plays the guitar very, very tall.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Came out of that situation. I told him, "Now, young man, go to school." He went to school for a year and then he got his grants. And he said, "Hey, Pastor, I just want to drop out for now. And then with this money, I use it as capital to start a business." I said, young man, you prayed for God to give you that university place. Did you? He said, "Yes." So now you are saying you want to drop out because of 5,000. 5,000 will vanish before you even know what to do with it. You think 5,000 is capital? You think that's money? Go back to school. He went to school. He finished his degree with a first class. Got a job, a Land Rover Jaguar. Now he's working for Rolls Royce on £80,000 an annum. With his police record, God hid it. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. In my church, I teach people, if you can celebrate somebody's testimony like it's yours, you are rehearsing for your own testimony. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Not for people who say, oh, we have a testimony today. Sister so and so got a job. Say, hey. In our church, we have what we call a praise break. Just to rehearse. Oh, yes, rehearsal is very good. David didn't know when he was killing Goliath. That was the ultimate championship. Yes. But he had to rehearse by killing a bear and a lion. Yes. As you are shouting your victories and somebody's testimony, you are rehearsing your own testimony. Yes. This is, well, me today, I don't want to think about anyone, even anyone's testimony, just on me. He says, bring all your testimonies into the house of the Lord. Amen. So that they can start to bring a Holy Ghost energy in the house of God. It's called lifting him up out of history. Amen. Do you see that? Rosala was a trophy of grace to Brother Branham. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Now, I'm going to the climax of my sermon. Listen carefully. Listen to what the prophet says in the message, Investments. He says, I shoot precision shooting. I've had many trophies. He says, I know Brother Bamwandi was very humble. He's had many trophies in his precision shooting. He says, and the other day, the Lord, knowing my heart, knowing I needed a little rest, he let me shoot a remarkable thing. With a common model 70 Winchester .22 rifle on range, I shot 9 bullets in the same hole. Hey, I will let that sink into your spirit. I shot 9 bullets in the same hole. 2 of the groups of men standing there put a patch behind it. Said, I believe he's missing the target. The shots were so perfect until they thought he's missing. Only one went in. Yeah. Then they put something behind to prove to him that he's not shooting 9 straight into the same hole. And Brother Bam says, what was it? Says, I believe you are missing the target. And Brother Bam says, what was it? I messed with that gun and tinkered with it. And everything, till every little vibration had to be right. And if it misses the target, there is something wrong somewhere. You hear what the prophet is saying? The prophet believed in his ability for precision shooting. Amen. That it's got to go in the same hole. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. When he was probably on his 6th or so, someone said, the guy is missing. Let's put a hole. Let's put something behind. They saw a hole again. Amen. That's the prophet. Hallelujah. And he's saying it, trying to get us somewhere as believers. Amen. And he says, that's what I said today. He says, listen to this. If it misses the target, then there is something wrong. He says, the Winchester company said, that gun will only shoot an inch group at 25 yards. An inch group is something like this. But Brother Branham shot 9 holes in 1 bullet. Says, and I had 9 bullets in the same hole at 50 yards. No matter what they said, it worked before, it will work again.
Amen.
Says, and that's what I said today. They say, we can't have Pentecost like they had then. People don't believe that stuff. You can't do it. We've got to have the church. We've got to have the organization. We've got to have the educated injected into it and so forth. If it worked back there to the illiterate fishermen who could take God at his word, it will hit the target then. If it healed the sick, if it raised the dead, it will do the same thing today. If the right vibration is put to the gun, she will zero in right in again. If it don't, go back and check your gun. So go back and pick up the prescription and find out where we are wrong at. The only way I know to do it, but I'll do it because it hit before. It will hit again. If it worked for the apostles, without denomination, without creed, without being Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, or whatever more, it will work again. If it worked for the word of God, it will work for me on the word of God. It will work for you on the word of God.
Amen.
What is the prophet saying? He takes an example of how he shot 9 bullets into one hole using a gun that the manufacturer's specification said it shoots only from 25 yards into an inch hole. He tinkered with his gun, made it have the right kind of vibration, and he changed the distance.
Amen.
He went twice the distance further, 50 yards, and he shot 9 holes into a bullet. And then he turns that around and he brings it to the word. He says, you know what? Because I tinkered with this. I tinkered with the gun. Made sure it zeroes well. And I know if it hit the first time, it will hit the second time. Because the same action is there. Now, if we take the Bible and the spoken word and apply it how it's supposed to apply. If it once shot on target. If you once had a testimony before and something supernatural that God did for you. If you go back to the same way you did it then, you will do it again.
Amen. Amen.
It will happen again.
Amen.
And the prophet says, but you've got to find out where loose screws is. Some people don't have testimonies because they have a loose tongue. Loose screws. If you tinker with your tongue, let your mouth be what just praises God.
Amen.
Tinker with your attitude. Says, sometimes you got, excuse me, got plenty of them. Some of them gets even too tight. So you've got too loose and too tight. The too tight ones, those ones don't pay offering. Don't pay rent. Don't pay tithes. They are tight. The screws need to be loosed a bit. And then there are others that are too loose. They need to be screwed a bit. You will hit your target.
Amen.
Listen to this. You've got to loosen it up a little. That's right. To make the vibration. Like a musician with the guitar. Training his strings. He has to know the ting of it.
Amen.
How many know what musicians do before the song service? Testing, 1, 2, testing, 1, 2. They want to make sure by the time the song service comes, when they just say, they know they are in tune.
Yeah.
And every believer ought to live a life that they've already tinkered with the Bible and the spoken word, you'll hit the target.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
And every believer is entitled
yes.
to have a trophy. For the glory of God.
Amen.
Are you with me, church?
Amen.
And he says here, a spirit-filled man could tell the thing of it, whether it's beyond the Bible or way behind the Bible.
Hallelujah.
If you come with something that is not biblical or message, a spirit-filled person will discern
Amen.
That that's not Malachi 4:5.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Says, it has to be right in the Bible. Exactly with thus said the Lord.
Amen.
Must be trained in right. Then it will zero. Then it will hit the post.
Yes, sir.
Brother, we ought to have trophies. We ought to have a perfect understanding of what this message can do for us.
Amen.
Let me finish with this, my brothers and sisters. Why do you think God allowed Brother Branham to shoot that carbow 42 inch? Gave a prophecy. Do you think God wants to entertain his people? God gave a prophecy, and the prophecy had odds against it.
Amen.
But God made sure that everything gets into that prophecy.
Amen.
Because it was, thus says the Lord. Unbeknown, the horn was, the carabao was killed. And they had to make sure they have a tape measure. And Brother Branham said, it will be 42 inches. Nothing less. Says, are you sure, Brother Branham? Measure it.
Hallelujah.
And right now it's sitting in the drain. What is it doing there? That is a trophy
Amen.
To show us that thus saith the Lord
Amen.
Can never fail.
Amen.
May God bless you.
Amen.
How many believe that God can give them a perfect life? Because he's expecting you to be as he is, so are you. Don't live in the realm of human problems.
Amen.
You were called to be higher
Amen.
Than your bills,
Amen.
Higher
Amen.
Than your finances, Amen. Higher than your marriage. You were called to be higher.
Amen.
If you believe it tonight, I want to speak over your life.
Amen.
Bible says, every time the Lord came on the scene, he said to people, fear not.
Amen.
Because fear is an emotion that is the wrong vibration
yes.
that stops the things that are supposed to happen.
Amen.
But love is also an emotion
Amen.
That is the correct vibration that brings an anointing
Hallelujah.
That makes whatever you want to be possible.
Amen.
Believest thou this afternoon?
Amen.
As we rise to our feet, let's sing that song. I love him. I love him. Because he first loved me. And you must love the Lord so much that it will dispel all the fear in your life. Church.
Amen.
A trophy serves as a memento that the God that gave you that victory, he can give you some more victories.
Amen.
Remember when David had killed Goliath, he ran and chopped off his head and held it as a trophy. And the sword of Goliath was taken into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Then one day David was running away from Saul. When he was under adversity, he went into church. Says, is there any sword in here that I might take for my defense?
Amen.
Says, there is only one sword. The one you used to kill Goliath. And I want you to see how the scripture reads so that you see that these things are vital in our Christian lives. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse number 9. Listen carefully. If you've ever had an iota of victory, it was a sign that you can have more victory.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It's chapter 21, verse 9. Started from verse 8. And David said unto Ahimelech, is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor any weapon with me, because the king's business requireth haste. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that. Look at David's response. And David said, there is none like that. Give it to me.
Amen.
He relived the moment he killed Goliath by having that sword back in his hand.
Amen.
How many want to relive?
Amen.
There are moments of victory before.
Amen.
Go back to the trophies, the mementos, and the things that God has done miraculously in your life.
Amen.
And then pray and say, you are still that same God.
Amen.
Go back to the same atmosphere. You were in when you overcame.
Amen.
You will see yourself hitting that hole 9 times again.
Amen.
Let's sing that song, I Love Him, as I invite Brother Lubanza to close for us and to lead us into prayer.
I love Him.
I love Him.
I love Him.
Thank you for the death of our hearts, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for coming down since this morning and this afternoon, Lord, through your word, and have spoken to us. Lord Jesus, this was you. The way you came.
Hallelujah.
Down, anoint your servant.
Thank you, Lord.
So mightily, Lord, inspiring him and using him, Lord, so mightily to speak to us. Everything that you told us, Lord, this morning and this afternoon,
amen,
is the truth.
Yes.
Lord, forgive us for our unbelief.
Yes, Father.
As you showed us, Lord, really, you are Jehovah.
Amen.
With all the redeeming names, Lord.
Yes.
Your names of redemption.
Amen.
As the prophet showed us that Jehovah means God with his family.
Amen.
And you can't be with your family without being in them.
Amen.
We can't say Jehovah if you are outside of us, Lord.
Amen.
You are Jehovah only in us.
Amen.
And when you are in us, Lord, you come with all your names of redemption, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Forgive us for our unbelief, not believing in your presence in us, Lord.
Amen.
As you put us, Lord, showing that when you come into us, you come with all your aspects.
Amen.
Jehovah Jireh.
Yes, Father.
Jehovah Rapha.
Yes,
Lord. Jehovah Jitkenu.
Yes.
Jehovah Shalom.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Jehovah Shama.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
All your Amen. Attributes
yes.
are within us, Lord.
Amen.
Through this word.
Yes,
and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, Lord, raise our faith up, Lord.
Yes,
to a point Hallelujah. Where we can dispel the fear.
Amen.
fear of failure, Lord.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, come and help us.
Thank you, Lord.
No one can go out of this place without saying that the Lord spoke to him.
Yes, Lord.
Sincerely, Lord.
Yes.
You came because you saw our problems. You saw, Lord, the death in our heart, what we are going through, Lord, and you came to deliver us from our fear. And we believe, Lord, that you have sent your word, as you said, I sent my word, and my word healeth them.
Amen.
We believe that we have been healed.
Amen.
Through the preaching.
Hallelujah.
Of this message.
Amen.
Fear has left us.
Amen. Thank you,
we
Lord.
Go out of this place facing.
Hallelujah.
Any problem.
Yes.
Any circumstance.
Yes.
Any situation.
Yes.
It's under our feet.
Yes.
The same way, Lord.
Yes, Father.
You let the children of Israel to put under their feet.
Yes.
The head of the kings. All our problems,
yes.
All our circumstances,
yes.
All the diseases,
yes.
Are under our feet, Lord.
Amen.
We're going out of this place victorious,
yes.
Testifying,
yes.
That you are with us. You have given us victory,
yes.
And we are going, Lord, to face the devil.
Amen.
Fight him, Lord.
Yes.
And we believe, as you said, upon this revelation, I'll build my church. Upon this rock, the revelation, the manifestation, spiritual manifestation of the word of God in our life. And no gate of hell can stand, can prevail against it.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, as we know, that the gates are not offensive weapons. Gates are defensive weapons.
Hallelujah.
It shows that,
amen.
It's not the hell that's attacking us. We are the one who are attacking the hell.
Yes.
Let us face,
hallelujah.
All the devils, Lord.
Yes.
Take away our fears.
Yes.
Destroy our fears, Lord.
Yes.
As the prophet said, the greatest curse of the church is fear.
Amen.
And we believe, with your love displayed this morning through the preaching,
amen.
And spread in our heart,
amen.
Through the Holy Spirit,
yes.
Fear has left us.
Amen. Thank you,
thank
Lord.
You, Jesus.
Amen.
We want to thank you for your servant,
yes. Thank you, Lord.
Brother Crosby, Lord.
Amen.
We are so blessed.
Amen.
I'm so blessed.
Amen.
Can remember, Lord, when I met him in the UK, and he was not even preaching.
Yes.
But we could see, Lord, the calling in his life.
Yes.
And this is the proof and the confirmation,
amen.
That you have called him.
Yes.
Bless him, Lord.
Amen.
As he goes everywhere to bless your bride.
Amen.
As we have heard many testimonies from Zimbabwe, from South Africa, from England, Lord.
Amen.
That every time he stands in front of your people, he bless them.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We pray that you fill him, Lord,
amen.
With inspiration again.
Amen. Amen.
Give him again strength, Lord.
Yes.
Bless him, Lord.
Yes.
So that he can bless your bride all over, amen. The world.
Amen.
Bless his family, his wife, dear, amen. Wife, Lord, and his ministry, his church.
Amen.
And bless your people,
amen.
As we commit, amen. Ourselves. Believing that you have spoken to us and conquered for us.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. My provider.
Sorry. You know, sorry.
Amen. Amen.
As he said, I was hiding. You know, sometimes you have to hide so that you see the your so-called friend are criticizing you.
Yeah. my. No, I didn't realize Brother Joseph was here. Yesterday, I was so happy when I met Mom. And Brother, when I arrived yesterday, I asked Brother George, I said, is my friend around, Brother Lubanza? And he said, no, he's not around, but he says he loves you and he sends his greeting. I said,
Amen.
And when I saw you, it was a bonus. So may God bless you. Brother Lubanza means so much to me and my wife. Amen. We stayed with him and Sister Sharon before I was a preacher. My daughter Nyasha has just been born. Now, there's so many things that are surreal. He saw me before I was a preacher and he actually said, I see something in your life. I'll be praying for you. And he went and spoke to my pastor then and said, there is something about this young man. It's burning in him. He better go and preach sooner rather than later. So the first sermon that I ever put people together to say, let's preach, I invited him to preach for us. So he's a bosom friend, an elder brother, and a very, very, very close friend of mine.
Hallelujah.
That's why you had me tease Sharon before. Sharon is a very reserved little girl, but to me, she's like a daughter to me. And it just so happened that when my mother went to be with the Lord, it happened just about the same time Sister Lubanza went to be with the Lord. So it's the first days of December. So every time I think of my mom, I can't help but to think of her as well. So she's special that way. Amen. And we love him and we've been trying our best to get him to come over to Leicester. So I'm sure this time round, he will come and be with us. Amen. He's a man that is revered worldwide for his humility and his ministry.
Amen.
And for me to be his friend, the way he loves me, it's special privilege.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's not something I take for granted. Amen. So Meg, just to preach when he was, you see, I lost my rhythm when you came in because remember Brother Branham was preaching and Roy E. Devson was seated at the back and he went and says, hey, Brother Branham, how did I do? He says, the worst I've ever heard. You were just screaming and shouting. You never gave people the word. It's the word that liberates the people. You don't argue your case in court by emotion. Praise the Lord. So I'm glad he was here. When the Lord called me, there was a time, Brother Lubanza, we were having those meetings. He was asked to pray, and he prayed in French. I don't hear French, but I heard it that day. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Until my wife and I, whenever we want to confuse the devil, we do say devoué de vous. We somewhere there, Seigneur Jésus Christ. We know that somewhere there God is. Because they say French is God's language for love. Because they say, you know, that man who interpreted, spoke in tongues, it was French. So I love to hear him pray in French, and it just does me good. There is a vibration that comes with it. I hope this weekend God has blessed you. It's always a special honor.
Amen.
I don't mean to step on your toes. I love you with the love of
Amen.
God.
Amen.
May God bless you, and may He bless Brother Marais. Amen. I have friends that I grew up with, Brother Scotty, Brother George.
Yeah.
They know me in and out. Amen. Sister Shahida, praise the Lord. May God bless you, my sister. Praise the Lord. We come a long way. You're going to make some curry mayonnaise, sister, for us, eh? May God bless you. We love you.
Amen.
But the icing on the cake was to see Mama, Sister Lubanza Senior. I felt so happy last night. And I mentioned it when I started to preach. Mama, it was so wonderful to know you and to see you. Brother Lubanza met my mom before she went to be with the Lord. So he's a man that I really, really love. And I'm waiting for him to come and spend some time with us. Amen. May God bless you. Brother Maxwell, thank you for receiving us and being the type of an elder that you are. May the Lord bless you, bless your family. He is a stabilizing factor, praise the Lord. And we appreciate that. I mean, appreciate that. Give the Lord a hand in praise
Amen.
For our brother. Amen.
Amen.
May God bless you.
Amen.
To God be the glory. I like that song, Ancient Words. Yes. Let's just tell the devil one more time that these ancient words are changing us. Let's just have a little moment of just worshiping him. Praise the Lord.
Let these ancient words divide.
Words of life, words of life, words of hope.
Give us strength, Lord, help us to go
in this world where we roam.
Ancient words will guide.
Ancient words
ever true.
Oh yes,
changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart
holy words of our faith.
Amen.
Changing.